ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
We're reading this morning from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter entitled, 6th canto, chapter 7, Indra offends Brihaspati, text number 36.
Akinchananam hi dhanam shilonchanam teneha dhanam shilonchanam తేనేహ నిర్వర్తిత సాధు సత్క్రియః కథం విగర్హ్యం ను కరోమ్యధీశ్వరా పౌరోధ సంహ్రిష్యతి యేన దుర్మతిః. అకించన్.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. O exalted governors of various planets, the true Brahmana who has no material possessions maintains himself by the profession of accepting shilonchana. In other words, he picks up grains left in the field and on the ground in the wholesale marketplace. By this means, householder Brahmanas who actually abide by the principles of austerity and penance maintain themselves and their families and perform all necessary pious activities. A Brahmana who desires to achieve happiness by gaining wealth through professional priesthood must certainly have a very low mind. How shall I accept such priesthood? Purport. A first-class Brahmana does not accept any rewards from his disciples or yajamans. Practicing austerities and penances, he instead goes to the agricultural field and collects food grains left by the agriculturalists to be collected by the Brahmanas. Similarly, such Brahmanas go to the marketplaces where grains are purchased and sold wholesale, and there they collect grains left by the merchants. In this way, such exalted Brahmanas maintain their bodies and families. Such priests never demand anything from their disciples to live in opulence, imitating Kshatriyas or Vaishyas. In other words, a pure Brahman voluntarily accepts a life of poverty and lives in complete dependence on the mercy of the Lord. Not very many years ago, a Brahmana in Krishnanagar near Navadvip was offered some help from the local zamindar, Raja Krishna Chandra. The Brahmana refused to accept the help. He said that since he was very happy in his householder life, taking rice given by his disciples and cooking vegetables of tamarind leaves, there was no question of taking help from the zamindar. The conclusion is that although a Brahmana may receive much opulence from his disciples, he should not utilize the rewards of his priesthood for his personal benefit. He must use them for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So firstly, I would like to beg forgiveness from all the devotees who have come from such long distances. Today on the SMS, it was Radhanath Swami who was going to give the class. But at the last moment now I have been asked to give the class. So sorry for the disappointment. I can't keep up to the standards of Maharaj nor the best assembly of the Vaishnavas here. So please excuse me for I am not prepared to speak. It's just the last minute class. So excuse me if I disappoint all of you in your expectations. Also what I would like to do today is just give a brief summary of the whole chapter because the chapter is ending now. and see what are the different lessons that we have learnt in the past several verses of this chapter for our benefit as sadhakas. So I don't have anything to present, but from all the devotees, different devotees spoke. So I am just taking the remnants of the different devotees and simply sharing the same things with you. Since it's the last minute intimation, so I just can't. I'm not scholarly, learned, nor do I have devotion like all the Vaishnavas here. So all I can do is rely on the remnants of all the Mahabhagavats and Vaishnavas here and share a few of those remnants with you. So, this episode, this particular chapter, Indra offends Brihaspati, opens with the first principle, and that is the principle of respecting a great soul, respecting the spiritual master, respecting a Vaishnava. Yesterday's great Shyamanand Puru spoke so beautifully about this principle of respect. Approach to Krishna can never be made directly. Approach to Krishna has to always be through the spiritual master, through his devotees, and therefore respecting Krishna means respecting his devotees, respecting the spiritual master. Like Shikshashtakam Prabhu gives a beautiful example that when one waters the root of the tree, then all the parts of the tree are automatically satisfied. When one pleases Krishna, everyone in this creation is automatically pleased and satisfied. But one cannot approach the root of the tree directly. One can water the root of the tree through the soil. Just like the root is unapproachable directly and has to be approached through the soil, similarly Krishna, who is like the root, is unapproachable directly and must be approached through his devotees who are compared to the soil. Just like when the stomach is fed, all the limbs of the body get perfect satisfaction. Similarly, when Krishna is satisfied like the stomach, everyone in the creation who are like the limbs get satisfaction. But the stomach cannot be approached directly. One cannot perform surgery on the stomach and put food inside the stomach. The food is put into the stomach through the agency of the mouth. Just like the stomach is unapproachable directly and has to be approached through the mouth, similarly Krishna is unapproachable directly, must be approached through the agency of his devotees, through the agency of the spiritual master. Just imagine, if one starts thinking, I must serve the stomach properly, and starts taking a knife and mutilating the lips and the mouth, one will never be able to reach the stomach if the mouth is hurt. Just think, if you have a huge tree and roots, one thinks, why should I go through the soil? Pull the tree out and start watering the root, the tree will not live to be watered. Right? If one starts going directly, it's not going to be possible. Damaging the soil will never help us reach the root of the tree. Similarly, hurting a Vaishnava, hurting a spiritual master, offending a spiritual master means to hurt the mouth, which is the agency to reach the stomach. To damage the soil, which is the agency to reach the root of the tree. Thus, the first principle that we learn in this episode is how, if one wants to respect the Lord, worship the Lord, one must first worship and respect the spiritual master or the devotee who is the medium to approach the Lord. Indra is committing this great blunder. He is wanting to approach the Lord. His service to the Lord is to take care of the heavenly planets. But being completely enamored by the opulence in his service, he forgets to respect his spiritual master, Brihaspati, who arrives in the assembly. One particular devotee was coming again and again in Srila Prabhupada's room and was forgetting to offer pranams to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, very soon he will fall down. Because he is not offering his obeisances to the spiritual master. One might worship the deity, one might chant the holy name, but respecting devotees and respecting the spiritual master is the cardinal principle of spiritual life. Udayan Prabhu was recollecting a beautiful story when he came here. He said that he had just got Brahman initiation and he was so excited that now the Gayatri Mantra was received. And all those who have Brahman initiation know that when the Gayatri Mantra is got, there is a lot of enthusiasm in chanting the Gayatri Mantra. Later that enthusiasm doesn't stay though.
He was so excited, and he was thinking to chant the Gayatri Mantra in the temple would be so much disturbance. Everyone's chanting the holy name, Gayatri Mantra is new, so holy name becomes disturbance. He was saying that when he was sitting amongst the devotees, everyone was chanting the holy name so loudly, he felt, my God, this holy name is becoming, this sound is becoming disturbance. Therefore, I shall not chant the Gayatri Mantra in the temple tomorrow morning. The next morning, which was the first morning to chant the Gayatri Mantra, he went to a very secluded place and there was a beautiful lake. He was alone there, sitting erect, chanting the Gayatri Mantra with his eyes closed. And the first Gayatri Mantra takes a lot of time because every syllable is pronounced very distinctly and there is a lot of meditation. And Srila Prabhupada that day happened to come there on a morning walk. He thought he was going there in a secluded place. As he was chanting the Gayatri Mantra, Udayanand Prabhu saw Srila Prabhupada coming. He offered his dandavat pranams there. Just offered his pranams while chanting the Gayatri Mantra. His Brahman thread still wrapped on his thumb. Prabhupada came. He closed his eyes and continued chanting. Prabhupada came close. There were devotees with him. Stood right next to him. He didn't even open his eyes. Prabhupada continued his morning walk. And then he told the devotee who was with him, just see. In the Gayatri Mantra, he's chanting Guru Gayatri. And the Guru has come. And he continues to chant Guru Gayatri and does not offer his obeisances. What is the use of his Gayatri? Right. What is the use of the Gayatri? That he is chanting Gayatri for the spiritual master and the spiritual master has come and is not offering his obeisances, respects. What is the use of chanting Gayatri Mantra? Better he offer, leaves the sacred thread and offers his obeisances to Guru and continues his Gayatri later. And Udayanand Prabhu was mentioning, ever after that, anytime he saw Prabhupada in the Gayatri Mantra, he was chanting, he would leave his Brahman thread and offer obeisances. Even today he does that. He was mentioning sometimes he comes for Mangalarti and he finds, oh, it's only 4:25, 4:30 Mangalarti is there. So if it's 5 minutes are there and he starts chanting Gayatri. But sometimes if he doesn't finish and the darshan opens, Prabhupada is sitting on the altar, he leaves his sacred thread, offers pranams and says, no, I can't take a risk. Because the eternal cardinal principle is respect of the spiritual master. This is the first principle that we learn from this chapter. Respecting the Guru, respecting a Vaishnava for his position in our spiritual life. Brihaspati, the Guru, understands this. Indra has not got up, he leaves the place. The second very important principle that we learn is a great soul understands what is the plan of the Lord. Understanding well the plan of the Lord, he behaves accordingly. Brihaspati knew very well what would happen in the future. Brihaspati did not stay there. Brihaspati immediately left the place. A devotee understands the Lord's language. Everything in the world is sending messages to us. Every situation in the world is speaking something to us. The only problem is we do not learn, understand the language. Just like if a devotee from Maharashtra only knows how to speak Marathi, maybe a little broken Hindi and some English, goes to Tamil Nadu. There are so many signs saying so many things. Everything written in this, you know, like they say, this is like our chakli, you know, and jalebi. South Indian languages are like chakli and jalebi. Everything is round, 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 round. You don't understand what it is. So for a Maharashtrian, he thinks it is chakli, and for a North Indian, he thinks it is jalebi, because jalebi is available in North India. What do you understand? So many signs on all shops, bus stops, political slogans, so many things are written, but he is not able to decipher anything out of it. Although so much is being said, because he doesn't understand the language. Everything in the world for a person who doesn't understand the language of the Lord is chaklis and jalebis. He can't decipher any meaning out of it. But for a person who understands the language of the Lord, he knows everything speaks something to him. Every single thing has some message behind it. Prabhupada was in Rishikesh and he started getting pain in his leg. Immediately Prabhupada told his servants, take me to Vrindavan. And One of Srila Prabhupada's senior disciples was saying, Prabhupada understood the language of the Lord and therefore he saw this pain in his leg as the sign. Already my health is deteriorating. This is the last phase of my life. Take me to Vrindavan. It's time to depart. Prabhupada had a health problem and he wanted to go to a doctor to take a report, a health statement. And therefore, Aniruddha Prabhu had a friend in La Crescenta. He was a doctor. And Aniruddha Prabhu said, okay, we'll drive Prabhupada to La Crescenta and get this statement, health statement. So it was an old Volkswagen car, van. And Aniruddha Prabhu was driving, Gaurasundara Prabhu was also with him, and Prabhupada was sitting in the back seat. Now this was a very peculiar kind of car, Volkswagen, but it was painted with big, big daisy flowers, like the hippies. All daisy flowers all over the van, very distinctly noticeable. Even if it is few miles away, you can see, just seeing the big daisies painted on the car, one could make out what this, that something is happening here. The traffic policeman saw this. And they immediately came and stopped the car. Very peculiar, weird kind of car. Plus, Subal Prabhu was also there in the car. Had violated many traffic rules and had many traffic charges against him. So when the license was asked, he showed the license. There were many traffic charges, traffic violations. Immediately, I'm sorry, Subal Prabhu was driving the car. Subal Prabhu was taken away by the traffic policeman, and here was Srila Prabhupada and Gaurasundara Prabhu standing in the middle of the street there. And Prabhupada turned towards Gaurasundara and Prabhu and said, Krishna is telling us through this traffic policeman we need a new car. Right. You see, better buy a new car than get caught with so many traffic charges against the driver and so many daisies painted, such a peculiar car. Now, well, Prabhupada could have just said to Gaurasundara Prabhu, come on, let's go. Prabhupada could see Krishna speaking through the traffic policeman. The postman came and told Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, you are writing all of these books, but I think you should have a magazine. That will sell better. I'm sorry, he was writing magazines, I think you should write books. And Prabhupada took Krishna's, this is Krishna's words, and started writing books. A great devotee of the Lord understands the language that Krishna speaks to him through anything or anyone in this world. Brihaspati understood very well what was the plan of the Lord, what was to come in the future. He immediately left the place. Not only this, Brihaspati also understood, great soul as he was, he did not take the offense very seriously. A great soul, a great devotee, never takes the offense seriously. In Hawaii, one sannyasi disciple of Srila Prabhupada had procured a very nice property. It was a restaurant. And somehow or the other, a sannyasi was managing the restaurant. And while managing the restaurant, he started thinking it was his restaurant. All the different devotees were coming and telling, Maharaj, I think you should not do this. It belongs to our spiritual master. It belongs to the temple. It belongs to ISKCON. And all the proceedings in the restaurant, the sannyasi was taking care of. Prabhupada arrived in Hawaii. And this other devotees brought the sannyasi to meet Srila Prabhupada. When the sannyasi came to see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked, so tell me, whom does this restaurant belong to? Who gave this restaurant? The sannyasi said, Krishna gave this restaurant. But whom did it come from? From whose mercy did it come? From whose connection did it come? The sannyasi said, by your mercy, Srila Prabhupada. Said, then whom does the restaurant belong to? Sannyasi said, to me. Right. After saying it came from Krishna, after saying it came from Prabhupada's mercy, he said, it belongs to me. And Prabhupada said, alright, you keep it and you manage it. And the sannyasi left. Guru Kripa Prabhu was sitting right there. Prabhupada asked Guru Kripa Prabhu, so what should we do, Guru Kripa Prabhu? Prosecute him? Guru Kripa Prabhu said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. We'll prosecute him. Prabhupada said, if we prosecute him, we are nothing better than the ordinary karmis in the outside world. Everyone prosecutes. Everyone just takes the other person for a ride. He said, our spiritual movement is based on love and trust. If I ask him to just give the restaurant back, and if he doesn't give, I am only creating more opportunities for him to offend me by not respecting and following the orders of the spiritual master. Therefore, let him keep it, not offend the guru. Right? So a great soul does not take the offense very seriously. Well, the second principle that we learn is Brihaspati, understanding the plan of the Lord, what's going to happen in the future, and not taking the offense so seriously and leaving the place. Third principle that we learn in this chapter is the mistake is made, but after the mistake is made, one must also realize that mistake. Indra realizes his mistake. He understands what is the cause of offending Brihaspati. He gives two causes. First, Dabra Buddhina. And second, Aishwarya Mattena. Dabra Buddhi means less intelligence. Sometimes when a person is less intelligence, he does not understand how great the person in front of him is. Because his intelligence is less and he can't analyze the power and the greatness of the person. Indra says, I was less intelligent, Dabra Buddhi. And therefore, although Brihaspati was sitting right in front of me, I could not understand his position. Well, someone may be very intelligent, very intellectually astute. But the second quality is Aishwarya Mattena. Aishwarya Matta means completely intoxicated by false pride. So there are two reasons why one would not understand the greatness of a great personality. One is Dabra Buddhi, less intelligence. Second is Aishwarya Matta, or being intoxicated by false pride. The Niti Shastra has explained that there are four kinds of blind people who can never see. Naivam Pashyati Janmandha Kamandha Naiva Pashyati Arthi Dosham Na Pashyanti Madon Matta Na Pashyati Naivam Pashyati Janmandha. A person who is born blind is called Janmandha. A born blind person can never see physically. Dhritarashtra is a classic example of Janmandha. Born blind, physically blind, cannot see anything in the world. Kamandho naiva pashyati. Kamandha. When a person is obsessed by sensual desires, when a person is obsessed by lust, kamandha naiva pashyati. Physically he sees, but he does not see. And the classic example is Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So much was he obsessed by this desire to enjoy with Chintamani the prostitute, he thought that the dead body was the log. He held on to the dead body, was seeing physically it was just a wood. It was a dead body. But he saw that to be a log of wood. Physically it was a snake, he saw that to be a rope. Kamandha naiva pashyati. Arthi dosham na pashyanti. Arthi dosham, anyone who wants wealth, artha in return, dosham na pashyati, he does not see the fault in the profession. By hook or crook, get money, because he is obsessed by the desire to have wealth. He becomes blind to the good or the bad that is involved in his profession. Right? And the last is, madon matta na pashyanti. When one is intoxicated by false pride, one becomes blind, and that blindness makes a person incapacitated to see the greatness of the person in front of him. Everyone else is seeing very clearly how great the person is. But because he is intoxicated by false pride, he becomes blind to reality, blind to the greatness of the person sitting in front of him. Therefore it is said, Kunti Maharani prays, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir Edamanam Madapuman. These four things, high birth, Janma, Shruta, learning, beauty, Shri, and Aishwarya, opulence, Madapuman, makes a person proud and the person becomes blind. Blind to the greatness of the person who is sitting in front of him. Classic example for he who was blinded by the quality of high birth is Sringi. Sringi was so proud of his birth as a Brahmana He became blind to the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. Everyone else was seeing the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit, but Sringi could not see. With his physical eyes he could, but with his inner eye he was blind. He couldn't see the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit. The classic example for Aishwarya making a person blind is Indra here. So much intoxicated by his opulence, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, Gandharvas singing, Apsaras dancing, demigods waving chamaras, Sachi the beautiful queen sitting next to him. So much is he blinded by his opulence that Brihaspati comes in. Everyone else is seeing his greatness. Indra is blinded, cannot see his greatness. For Shri, the opulence of beauty, Nalakuvar and Manigriva, such beautiful young bodies, so much wealth, so much learning, practically all four. And Narad Muni, the great personality, comes in, but being blinded by this pride, cannot see the greatness of Narad Muni. And Shrutah, learning, Roma Harshan Suta, so exalted, disciple of Vyasadeva, learned in all the Itihasas, Puranas, all the scriptures, but so blinded by his learning that Balaramji walks in and cannot see. This is called Madon Matta Na Pashyanti. Someone who is blinded by false pride will never be able to see the greatness of the person right in front of him. Rukmini Mataji, Prabhupada's disciple, recalls a nice incident. When Prabhupada was living in Delhi at that time, he was living in an area called Anand Niketan. And this was a very, very high class area. Different dignitaries, VIPs, ambassadors to different countries were living there. And one evening on the rooftop, Srila Prabhupada was giving a darshan. And many sannyasis were sitting in front. Rukmini Mataji was also sitting there. And Prabhupada started quoting from the Shikshashtakam prayers. And Prabhupada said, Nayanam Galadashru Dharaya. And he forgot the next line. And turned towards the audience and said, so, what is that verse? And he turned to all the sannyasis. And none of the sannyasis knew that verse. And Rukmini Mataji knew that verse very well. She was thinking, well, how should I chant that verse? All the sannyasis are sitting here. But somehow or the other, she paused for a moment. She was seeing that Prabhupada was expecting someone to chant the verse. She mustered up some courage and she completed the verse. And Prabhupada looked at all of the sannyasis in a way that, look, she knows and you all don't know. And then Prabhupada continued speaking. And then later Prabhupada started quoting, Ashlishava Padaratam Pinashtumam. So what is that verse? And he started looking towards the sannyasis. None of the sannyasis knew that verse. By now, Rukmini Mataji recalls that she had developed pride in her heart. Why? The sannyasis do not know that verse. The most powerful essence of all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings is the Shikshashtakam prayers. They don't know it and I know it. And now since she knew this verse, Prabhupada looked at her and she started chanting the verse and she completed the verse. Prabhupada looked at all of the sannyasis and turned to Rukmini Mataji and said, just see, even this little girl knows these verses. Right? You know, you all don't know, even this little girl knows these verses. Rukmini Mataji was very pleased that Prabhupada had accepted her service, but the pride was still there, she recalls. And after a while, Prabhupada began to speak about Ugra Karma. And as he was talking about Ugra Karma, he was talking about the steel factories and this and that. And Prabhupada turned towards the audience and said, so, does anyone here know what a crucible is? Now, Rukmini Mataji did not know what a crucible is. But she wanted to keep up to what she had done. And immediately she raised her hand and said, Prabhupada, I know what a crucible is. And Prabhupada asked, so what is a crucible? She thought crucible, crucifix, Christ. Right. So Christ was crucified on a crucifix. So she thought maybe crucible means the place where monks meditate on the cross. So she told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, crucible means a room where the monks meditate on the cross. Right. And Prabhupada made such a disgusting faces, looked at him or her and said, what are you speaking? That was the expression on his face. Right. And then immediately Brahmananda Prabhu was sitting there. That time Brahmananda Swami, Prabhupada said, you know Brahmananda? Yes, Prabhupada. Brahmananda Swami said, Prabhupada, crucible means that huge structure which they used to melt steel in steel factories. Because Prabhupada was talking of steel factories in reference to steel factories. Prabhupada said, yes. And simply looked at Rukmini Mataji. And Rukmini Mataji recalls, that was sufficient to tell me what I was. So usually, when one gets learning, a stinge of false pride can develop within the heart, and the spiritual master is very expert to remove that false pride. Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and a young Indian boy came there. And he started chanting Bhagavad Gita verses, and Hridayanand Maharaj was with him, right, with Prabhupada. And the way he was speaking verses, Prabhupada was saying, you are from India, you have such a beautiful culture, so many verses you know, you are so learned and you appreciate them like anything. And then the boy went. And back from the morning walk, Prabhupada and Hridayanand Maharaj both were in the car. And Prabhupada had said some things, made some point. And immediately Hridayanand Maharaj said, so in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada Krishna says this. This is the verse for what you said. Prabhupada turned to Hridayanand Maharaj and said, there are many verses in the scriptures like that. Simply smashed. Right. I encourage that young Indian boy, but that doesn't mean you also should now start giving all different verses whenever I say anything. Indicating, do not be proud of your own learning. So we learn this third very important principle from this chapter. Indra offends Brihaspati, that Indra realizes his two mistakes. Dabrabuddhina, I was less intelligent, and Aishwarya Mattena, I was blinded by my opulence. Right. The fourth thing is, after realizing one's mistake, that I did offend a devotee, I made an offense to the spiritual master, realization is there, it should be put in action by repentance. Right. One must repent for the mistake. Indra started repenting, condemning himself. I am a low-born person, I am low-class, I was so intoxicated by my false pride, I could not see the greatness of my spiritual master. Just recently one brahmachari was giving a class, and when he gave that class, his spiritual master came and sat right in the class. And when the spiritual master was sitting in the class, at that time he was so bewildered, so confused, he didn't know what to do, he continued with the class. But later he thought, maybe I made a mistake, and the chapter that is going on is, Indra offends Brihaspati. Right. So he felt so bad in his heart, he came and he revealed his heart to a senior devotee and said, Prabhuji, what should I do? And the devotee told him, go and beg forgiveness. Because simply repentance of the heart will not accomplish anything, that repentance must be put into practice by approaching the spiritual master or by approaching the devotee who is offended and begging forgiveness. Otherwise, like the world outside says, in repentance all the sins are burnt. And that's true. In repentance all the sins are burnt. But that repentance will burn sins only if it is put in action. And therefore, if one has a repentant heart, one must approach the devotee that is offended and beg for forgiveness. Indra repented. But he didn't sit in his palace thinking, okay, I am repenting. In the fire of repentance, all the sinful reactions will be burnt, all the offenses will be gone. No. Repentance was put in action by approaching Brihaspati. Meanwhile, Brihaspati had left the place. He was so spiritually powerful, he disappeared from Indra's vision. A beautiful verse comes there. After Brihaspati disappears, Indra is still surrounded by all of those things. Still surrounded by the Apsara, still surrounded by the Gandharvas, still surrounded by his opulent thrones. Everything is there. But Sukadeva Swami explains, Shaurair na alabhata atmana. Now, all of these things failed to give him peace and happiness. All the same things are existing. All the same things were giving him pleasure. But after having offended Brihaspati, na alabhata atmana. There was no peace of mind, no happiness, no pleasure. Offense had taken out the pleasure out of it. Offense to a great soul takes out the pleasure out of all those things that can give pleasure to a devotee. One might be surrounded by the best deities. One might have the holy name, the best of all mantras. One might have the best of all books, Srimad Bhagavatam. The greatest of all souls as one's spiritual master. Each of these things gives spiritual pleasure. Each of these things give peace and contentment. Going and praying in front of the deities to Radha Gopinath takes away all the malice of the heart and gives so much satisfaction. Chanting the holy name of the Lord gives so much pleasure and happiness in kirtan and japa. Taking prasad of Krishna gives taste to the tongue and taste to the heart. Reading the Srimad Bhagavatam gives nourishment to the intelligence and nourishment to the soul. Association of wonderful devotees gives so much satisfaction. Indra, all the opulences were giving him satisfaction before. But as soon as he committed offense to Brihaspati, Shaurair na alabhata atmana, he was surrounded by the same thing Shukdeva Goswami explained, but the peace was not there. As soon as there is an offense, the prasad is there, but the Krishna element is withdrawn. The deities are there, but Krishna is no longer there. The holy name is there, but it only becomes Akshara now, not the holy name. The devotees are there, but the devotees do not give any satisfaction. Why? Because the Krishna element, Krishna withdraws himself from the holy name, Krishna withdraws himself from the deities, Krishna withdraws himself from the Bhagavata, Krishna withdraws himself from the words of the devotees around, and the very same things that were the source of happiness and satisfaction, no longer one experiences any satisfaction or happiness. The association of devotees becomes painful. The deities become a burden. The holy name becomes a burden. The mala becomes very heavy to chant. Why? Because Krishna has withdrawn himself from all of these elements. Till the time one goes and begs forgiveness from the devotee, Shaurair na alabhata atmana, one can never experience peace of mind. One can never experience satisfaction. One can never experience fulfillment and contentment. Although it all has the potency to give that happiness and satisfaction. Meanwhile, Brihaspati is gone. Here, the demons become very powerful. As soon as an offense is done, they have worshipped Shukracharya, they become so powerful that they come and start mutilating the limbs of all the demigods. As soon as a devotee commits aparad to Guru or a devotee, Maya becomes very powerful. Feeding Maya means to commit offense to devotees. By chanting the holy name and practicing Krishna consciousness, we try to minimize the effects of the material energy, but by committing offense to a devotee, we simply feed the material energy. Just like when Brihaspati was offended by Indra, the demons became very powerful and attacked the demigod and mutilated their limbs. When we offend a Vaishnava, Maya becomes very powerful and comes and mutilates, practically speaking, the very essence of our life, our service to Krishna. Ravanath Maharaj was mentioned in a beautiful class, how when one commits offense to a devotee, Maya becomes so powerful. Why Maya becomes so powerful when we commit apraad to a devotee? He was mentioning that Krishna consciousness is a tug of war between the living being and the material energy. We are here on one side of the rope, Maya is on the other side. And who is Maya? The second most powerful person in the creation, Krishna's energy. What is the hope? We are 1/10,000 part, the tip of a hair, and Maya is so powerful, we think we'll win. But when we serve devotees, love devotees, please devotees, Krishna is on our side. So Maya is very powerful, but more powerful than Maya is Krishna. So we keep winning the war. And we start feeling, well, I'm conquering Maya very nicely. Sense control is possible. Mind is getting purified. Everything is possible because Krishna is on our side. But as soon as we commit an aparad to a devotee, Krishna leaves our side. So now we and Maya. Krishna does not simply leave our side. Krishna goes and joins Maya. So now the living being on one side and Krishna and the material energy on the other side. What is the hope for that living being?
Right.
That means as soon as one performs an offense to a devotee, Maya becomes very powerful. Why? She's already powerful, but Krishna joins her. The demons became very powerful. They mutilated the limbs of the demigods. What would Indra do? In such a situation, after the offense, when so much reaction is coming, he ran to Lord Brahma. Similarly, when we find the reactions of offenses coming in our life, the only shelter is the shelter of the association of devotees. Brahma advises them, okay, you go to Vishwarup, the son of Tvashta, he will help you to resolve the whole issue. All the demigods headed by Indra arrive to meet Vishwarup, the son of Tvashta, and they accept him to accept their proposal of being their priest. And beginning the verse yesterday, Vishwarup is now telling all the demigods why he does not want to become their priest. Firstly, he said, because by becoming someone's priest, all the credits that he has received will be lost. Secondly, he says in the verse today that every Brahman lives by Shilonchan, picking up the grains from the marketplace, left grains or from the field, not by using the facilities for oneself. And therefore, I do not want to accept this proposal. I lose my Brahmana's dharma of living simply by Shilonchan, by accepting the facilities you give me. But since you are respectable superiors, I will not deny this request. I shall definitely accept your priesthood. And therefore, Prabhupada explained in the purport today that a spiritual master or a great soul or a devotee must not live on the facilities that are given by the followers. To conclude today's talk, I would like to share a beautiful episode, a very beautiful way of how Prabhupada dealt with a particular situation at Hare Krishna land Juhu. The temple was being built, and many, many Western devotees were living there. And Yashomati Nandan Prabhu was taking care of all the finances there. And all the Western devotees were taking taxi to come from Hare Krishna land Juhu to town, South Bombay. And Yashomati Nandan Prabhu was very upset. So much money they are spending. He came to Srila Prabhupada and he said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, all of these devotees are wasting so much money on taxi. Srila Prabhupada turned to Yashomati Nandan Prabhu and said, Prabhu, all of these were Westerners before. And they were drinking and eating the blood of all kinds of animals like tigers. And by coming in contact with the Hare Krishna movement, by chanting the holy name, they have given it all up. And now, they just want a little money to go by taxi to South Bombay. Why are you so miserly? Right. And next morning, Srila Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavatam class. And in the Bhagavatam class, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna's money is very valuable. Krishna's money means Krishna's blood. And if we do not spend Krishna's money properly, we are draining Krishna's blood. Every single farthing that is being spent is nothing but the bricks that can be used to build a temple for the pleasure of Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu was explaining how he loved, how Prabhupada dealt so expertly. To Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, he said, what is the problem giving? And he taught him, tolerate it. Doesn't matter. Right? They have after all given so much up to surrender to Krishna. And to the devotees who are spending money on taxi, he said, it is Krishna's blood. One should not spend money just like this, just for any purposes. He taught the devotees frugality in service to Krishna. Through one incident, he taught tolerance to Yashomati Nandana Prabhu. And he taught frugality to other devotees, which means the facilities that come by service to Krishna, he taught, should not be used for one's personal purposes, but must be used in service to the Lord, Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari. So also Vishwarup is saying, as a Brahman, I simply want to pick up a few grains from here and there and survive. You are giving me so much facility, but I will lose my Brahman dharma by that, and therefore I do not want to become your priest. But in the verses to come, he will accept the priesthood of the demigods based on their superior position and his respect towards them. So this is a brief summary and a few lessons that we can learn from this chapter. Indra offends Brihaspati, and I'm once again very sorry for disappointing all of you. Unprepared, just coming and sitting and talking here. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Shri La Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.